Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to Let's Celebrate. This is Chakaysha, your host for the evening. I am so happy to be with you. I am happy to have you here. Before we go any further, I'd like to wish all of the mothers out there happy Mother's Day today. You know, you do a lot, and we appreciate you all. So this is Chakaysha bringing you Let's Celebrate. Let's Celebrate is my opportunity to create a clearing where people are acknowledged and celebrated. There is so much that each of us do in our life that sometimes we don't take the time to stop and acknowledge ourselves or celebrate our accomplishments. And so in this show, what I want to do is make the time to acknowledge you and to celebrate you. And one of the ways I'm looking at doing that is looking at the long history of the International Black Summit. And in looking at the history, I will definitely be looking at the people that make up the International Black Summit. And I want to take this show to actually acknowledge and celebrate them. So this evening, that's what we'll be doing. One of the things we'll be acknowledging and looking at is what's happening in New Orleans. What's happening in New Orleans? It's been several years, and I'm lucky to have some guests on tonight that can tell us from their perspective what's happening in New Orleans. Also, we'll have a International Black Summit a youth facilitator who will give us a call and share with us what's going on in her life. And I've had the opportunity to meet new people on my travels. So we'll have a young lady that I just recently met here in New Orleans. That's right, I'm now in New Orleans. So it's a lot going on tonight. First of all, I want to say that Let's Celebrate is being brought to us by the International Black Summit Talk Show, and we have more and more of these shows every Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. There is International Black Summit Talk Show on. Tonight it's Let's Celebrate. Last week it was On Track with Henrietta. Next week it'll be Man of the Month with Glenn. And then we'll have Claire doing vision work. So every Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, you will have a chance to find out what's going on by tuning in here at the International Black Summit Talk Show. And Glenn has a show on Tuesday night at 6:30 called The Wealth Club. So we're, you know, got a lot going on, and we want you. And you can reach us by calling area code 646-716-9827. And you're able to call in and share with us your comments, your questions. So all throughout tonight, we'll have a time segment for you to call in and actually share your questions and comments. And with that, we're going to just pause for a moment and just want us to take the time to ground ourselves with the declaration of the International Black Summit. So we're going to see if Claire will read that for us.
Sure, Chakaysha. The declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There is nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating community as possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity and integrity with the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our body, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7, 1991.
And we'll have a moment of silence for those who have participated in the summit who have now transitioned. Thank you. And we say, besides the date that we said in 1991, we always include May 10th, 2009. And just really happy to have people here tonight and with us. The show is called Let's Celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
And we will be having other callers on. But just want to start right at the top of the show by just sending out a great big invitation to the universe to invite people to be with the International Black Summit in London, England, July 30th through August 2nd. That will be our annual event, and we would love for you to be there. You can find out more information about the International Black Summit annual event at blacksummit.org. You can go to our website, get more information, and I'll be sharing more information this evening concerning that. So let's check in and just see if any of our guests have called in.
Yes, Everett is on line one.
Okay, great. So I want to introduce Everett to you by saying I have actually returned to New Orleans from my experience right after the Katrina hurricane back in 2007. I came to Katrina, to New Orleans, to see how I could be of service to the people of New Orleans. And I came to that through a project called Project Dignity. And when I came, I got involved with a school called Martinez Kindergarten. So out of that relationship, I once again returned to New Orleans to be of service and to continue my relationship with that school. And I had the privilege of once again participating in a service day that happened on April 26th. And at that service day, I got to meet this gentleman Everett, and he was sharing some things about his experience here in New Orleans. So I asked him if he would come on the show and share some of those things, and he said he would. So I just want to welcome you, Everett.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be on here.
Yes. And so just take a couple of minutes and just share a little bit about the service day, you know, like which team you were on, what your experience of that was, you know. Just take about a minute and just share from there.
Okay, no problem. I actually reside in Houston, and I went to school in New Orleans at Dillard University. And I was down there for the community service day along with some friends who they were sponsoring, along with a couple different organizations, where they wanted to just really take a day and give back to the community. They had a bunch of different activities that went on, such as distributing books to schools, repainting and reconstructing things. The particular activity that I was involved with was a gardening experience. And most people that know me know I'm from the city, and I don't really do a whole lot of farming or hard labor work. But it was real eye-opening. You know, I have a newfound respect for the people that do gardening-type work, because out there in the sun and You know, I was out there swinging a pick like I was working on a railroad. It was really entertaining. But, you know, it felt really, really good to go back and do that. You know, I've seen a lot of change since the hurricane, and some for the good, some for the bad. So it's always very enlightening to go back and do such a good activity.
Wow, that's something. And as you were saying, you came in from Texas. And what I thought was so great about the Service Day Project was they brought in about 100 people from different places over the United States. We people there from Texas, people from Washington, D.C., just a lot of different places. What were some of the other places, Everett?
No, there was a couple of people there from California. We had some people from Virginia, New York. They had some local New Orleans people there, and it was really just a good variety, you know, a good culture. It wasn't, you know, a strict particular culture or a particular race. You know, we had people out there of all descents, and, you know, it was just a really, really, really good positive environment to be in.
Yes, yes. And what was amazing was if we had have just done one project, that would have been awesome. But they literally did 8 projects. I'm going to call off some of the names of them. There was the Dibert School Mural Project. Then they did the fence staining at St. Bernard Battered Women's Shelter. Then there was a project gardening at the Edible Schoolyard. Then they had the Memory Garden. Then they had NCC Raven 6 and Lower Ninth Ward Village. I went to that one. And then they had a Walk for Education book distribution with NSBE. And then they had Neutral Garden Shrubbery Planting Project. And then to wrap it all up, they had a media team going around videotaping all of that and also recording oral histories. And, you know, this came out of one person's vision, Paige, who's also a participant and a youth facilitator with the International Black Summit. So she had all of these people show up in New Orleans. And Everett, what would you say? Would you say that New Orleans still needs help, or is everything handled and people should just go on with their lives?
Oh, I would most definitely say that there's a lot of work to still be done in New Orleans. You know, it's kind of disheartening for me at times because, you know, being out here in Houston, I've relocated from Hurricane Katrina back home to Houston. And, you know, the hurricanes kept following me. I went through Ike and Rita while I was here. And the debris and, you know, the damage that was done here, they literally cleaned it up, you know, within a matter of weeks or months, and kind of restored some sense of you know, well-being back here in the city of Houston, and I've still not seen that when I returned to New Orleans. Things are getting a little better, but, you know, the road is always still there to be traveled. There's a lot of work that can be done, and we need more groups like this service organization day that we had to, you know, help rebuild the city. You know, it's a wonderful, wonderful city with so much culture, so much history. You know, you absolutely need people to volunteer and come back and help do things like this.
All right. So I want to just thank you personally for taking the time to come back and, you know, to give up service.
Yeah, that's always a pleasure. And actually, we're looking into doing a return day in October.
Great, great. Okay. So I want you to definitely stay in touch with me and actually come back on the show a little bit before October so we can let our listening audience know how they can join that group and, you know, come again in October.
I definitely will be, you know, very much a pleasure.
Right. And I just kind of wanted you to take a few more minutes to kind of talk about what was your experience being in New Orleans, just like I know you went to Dillard University. Like, talk about what it was like before Katrina, what it was like, you know, kind of in the middle, and like what's going on for you right now.
Okay, well, you know, I really can appreciate my 4 years at Dillard University. I learned a whole lot while receiving my bachelor's degree in accounting there. And even just the whole city environment, you know, it was always something to do. And you felt real homely. The people there will take you in like, you know, you're part of their family. You know, one experience I had while I was in New Orleans was the Mardi Gras experience. And everybody knows about the Mardi Gras you see on TV and the walking down to Bourbon Street and the canal. Well, you know, one of my frat brothers, he took me down under the bridge. And when I tell you, these people were so just caring, you know, as I walked by, you know, people I had never met before, you know, would you like something to eat, you know, come hang, come party with us, enjoy the music. You know, it was just, you don't really get that type of environment everywhere else. And, you know, that's something that is really, really being missed, you know, at this time. For me, you know, I came back to Houston after the hurricane. I kind of did some transitioning here in my life. I was doing some accounting work and got caught up in that world, so I decided to take a new aspect of that. I started teaching, and I teach third grade here in Houston in the Third Ward area of Houston, Texas. And I've, you know, I've continued my education. I started out once after the hurricane. I went from attending University of New Orleans, and they transferred me to University of Houston. And you know, one thing I can also take from being at Dillard was that HBCU environment. You know, I can't say enough about my HBCU. So when it was time for me to go back to school, you know, I needed to be at somewhere I felt real comfortable, and you know, the people would look out for me. So I went to Texas Southern University and got my master's in education administration, passed the principal's exam out here.
Wow.
So I'm really just putting in my time. I'm actually going back this fall for my doctorate. And
excellent.
Those are some of the things. I have a friend of mine who's actually, she kind of went through the same program, and she's actually moving to New Orleans this summer to become a principal out there. So, you know, it would be good if you could, you know, have some talks with her, because she'll really enjoy sharing her experiences from here and then heading out to New Orleans as well.
Okay, what's your name?
I'm sorry?
What's your name?
Frida Ray.
Okay. I'll get some information from you later, and definitely I have her be on this show. But Everett, I wanted to take this time to acknowledge you, acknowledge all the great work you've been doing in your own personal life, completing your master's, passing your principal exam, and looking on to do your doctorate work. I want to celebrate the man that you are. You know, we are always hearing these negative things about black men, and I just, you know, want to acknowledge and celebrate who you are as a black man, how you're giving back to the children. It's positive for them to see a positive black man around education. So just really want to celebrate you and acknowledge who you are, you know, like, just let it in. Don't think what you're doing is just normal. What it is you're an ordinary person doing extraordinary things.
I really do appreciate that. And you know, today is a special day, so I would also like to wish Happy Mother's Day to everybody that's listening, and, you know, to my mom and to you and everybody else that's a mother out there, you know, on this day.
Okay. So thank you for being on the show today. Once again, continue to listen. We want to invite you to visit our website, blacksummit.org, and learn more about the International Black Summit. We're going to have our annual event in England, in London, England, July 30th through August 2nd. So continue to listen. As we move on in the show, and just thank you for joining us.
I definitely will. Thank you for having me.
All right. Okay, great. Oh, I mean, it's just exciting, you know, being part of the service team on April 26th and working with Everett on the different projects here. So it's just really great, and once again, I want to just take a moment and look at us little bit segment on greening, the greening of our planet. We know that Vice President Gore became quite a person. In fact, won a Nobel Peace Prize out of his work with around global warming, and just really, you know, having us look more at what are we doing to our planet. So I want to take a moment in our show to actually have a moment about, you know, green America, green moment, as I call it, and just little things that we can do to help preserve the earth and be accountable for the footprint that we're leaving in terms of what we're doing in the world. And I found something very interesting, and that was, it was called The Greening of a Wedding. And there's a book called Green Your Wedding. And one of the items that I noticed in it that I think a lot of people could look at when they look at their wedding is you want to look at the waste that you leave behind. Like, what things are you actually using in your wedding that maybe you don't need to use, that you're going to leave more waste behind than the element of what you used it for. And the area that they spoke of was the lining that you usually put down where the bride walks. It's usually paper of some type. And they actually talked about, don't use paper. Use something like a rug, something that's reusable, so that you're not going to just toss away. So I thought that was very interesting. So as you're planning your weddings, actually, you know, take a look at some books where they actually talk about how to green the wedding, you know. And we thought we'd just take a moment and let's celebrate and have a green moment. So with that in mind, you're listening to Let's Celebrate. It's a show brought to you by the International Black Summit Talk Show. And we're here every Sunday at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Each week there's a different show. And tonight you're listening to Let's Celebrate. Next week you'll be listening to Man of the Month. And it's very interesting, and we'll be talking more about that later on. Let's see if our next caller has called in.
Hi, Shakesha. Actually, Todd was on the line. It looks like he just dropped off, but we have two other callers. One online caller at 347-776 and or 312-593. You're on the air if you have a comment or a question for Shakesha.
Okay, I did notice that Todd had called in. So, Todd, just give us a ring back. We'll be able to take that right away as you come in.
Okay, so we have two callers on the line now. And the caller at 617-271 has a comment or a question.
Okay, let's take that.
Hello, Shakesha. It's Benita.
Hi, Benita. Oh, great. She called in early. Great. Great.
You know what?
Oh.
Hi, everyone in the International Black Summit. I love you guys. I miss you so much.
Hello.
It is so great to have you on the call, Benita. We just really love, you know, having you here, and that's the space of the Let's Celebrate. It's to acknowledge and celebrate the people of the summit. And one of the spaces I've been definitely wanting to acknowledge and continue to celebrate is the youth space. So, you know, just take a couple of minutes of, I like you just to say how you first, you know, came to the summit, at what age, you know, a couple of memorable moments for you, and what you're doing with your life now. Definitely talk about that master's program. So go ahead. I'm going to let you rip.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, Todd is back as well.
Okay. Okay, hold on. Benita, let me have you hold on for a minute, and let me grab Todd. Okay.
Todd, you're on here.
Yes, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
How are you doing?
Okay. Hi, Todd. Thank you for being on the show.
Well, thank you for having me. Happy Mother's Day to all you lovely ladies out there.
Thank you. Thank you. Oh, wow. This is another one of our brothers here in New Orleans. His family has been here for many years. I also met him at the service day on April 26th, and he was sharing with us about a center that his family has actually created here in New Orleans, and, you know, just like what his hopes and dreams of for New Orleans and who we as a people of New Orleans can be. So, Todd, why don't you just share a little bit about your family and the center. And, you know, and before you do that, actually, were you able to work on one of the projects with us on the 26th?
On the 26th? I have to get back with you on that. My schedule is a little thick, but I am working on that. I would love to be a part of that if everything goes well.
Okay. Well, just share with us about the center and your family here in New Orleans.
Yes, well, as far as the center, it stems behind our late father, Dr. Thomas Craig. He was the first black chiropractor in New Orleans, and what he did, on the chiropracticism side, what he did, he gave physicals to young black kids so they can go on the basketball and football and baseball field when the white doctors wouldn't give them physicals. So he did that as well as did sickle cell walks, sponsored them. He also had Dutch Mayor Moriel, the first black mayor of New Orleans. The building that we still own now, 1800 Newton, that was Dutch Mayor Moriel's headquarters. My dad helped him get elected along with Marlon Guzman and some other prominent people that's here today. And my father was also besides chiropractor, he was a real estate broker. What he did on that side, he actually helped a lot of black families get out of the rental mode. Taught them how to fill out an application to actually buy houses and to be homeowners. He did so many things on that level. He actually had classes to help mentor kids and so forth. And as well as my mother, she did the same thing. She was a school teacher for 22 years in the Jefferson Parish school system. And after my father died in 85, my mother took over the real estate company and did the same thing, helped teen pregnant girls find happiness and then find closure and to stimulate their lives as well. Our family's been here since 1973. Just to make it brief for you, 1973. Our building is located on Newton Street in Algiers, 1800 Newton Street. That's around the corner of Newton and Hendy on the West Bank. My family has always wanted to be a pioneer as much as possible to help rejuvenate the actual black mind and to establish self-sufficiency among us all in that race. And my brother and I, we take care of our mother now. To make a long story short, we take care of our mother now. So my brother and I, we actually run the center, and we have on the literacy side, we're doing literacy education. We're doing a computer lab and GED prep by appointment. Of course, you know, we're still looking for resources and volunteers. It is a little thick when you're kind of going against the grain. And how we make our money now is through our event space that we have right now, presently. The building is about right over 4,000 square feet. And we're doing what we can. We're always looking for help. And if any volunteers want to come through and actually show off their talent in the literacy education field, we have a classroom, and we'd love to have anyone to come on through and help us out.
Perfect, perfect. Wow, I tell you, your family has been quite a rock of Gibraltar here in New Orleans. And just want to really acknowledge and celebrate your family and the work that the sons, you guys are continuing on in your family's name. You know, I mean, it's amazing to hear of young, black men actually you know, having real estate that, you know, 4,000 square feet, that's not a small little place.
Yeah.
And, you know, how you guys are using that at the same time to generate income, but at the same time to be of service to the community. So I want to acknowledge and celebrate you guys, Todd, and just really thank you for taking the time to come on. I know you were out doing Mother's Day things, and you said you'd be able to call in and just be with us for a little while. So I want to thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me, for sure.
Okay. So please continue to listen. Once again, you're listening to Let's Celebrate, being brought to you by the International Black Summit Talk Show. And tonight we just have tons and tons of people on with us. We just finished talking with Todd, and he was sharing about his family and the center here in New Orleans. And we have others on the line. So I want to once again ask and bring on Benita back. Are you still there, Benita?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. And I was asking you to share with me, like, how you came to the summit and what you were doing in the summit and what you're doing now in your life and how we met back up again.
Okay, I could do that. I came to the summit when I was about 10 or 11. It was 1995. It was in New York. It was the first youth summit that was put on. And it changed my life. My two older brothers came with me, Bobby and Brian, and my mother, Cindy Walker. And we all were just inspired and moved, and, like, our relationships with each other just grew to different levels. After that, the summit went to Kenya and, I think, South Africa, and we weren't able to attend both of those. But after that, it was in Atlanta, and I joined the coordinating team, the facilitator body, and that was the first summit that I facilitated at. And just being in contribution, being a facilitator at the summit, like, brought the experience to another level. I love the summit. I've done all roles, all types of roles, from coordinating to facilitator training to fundraising. I mean, when I was, I don't know, 13 or 14, I bought a group of like 20 to Jamaica to do the summit in Jamaica. And for me, what the summit is it's perfect that today's Mother's Day, because I had so many mothers in the summit, so many people who were my mentors and really looked out for me, that it really helped shape my life in an amazing direction. Right now, I am in Boston. I'm a teacher. I teach eighth grade at a middle school, and I'm also building a community center that is about a block away from my house. About 6 months ago, we wrote a proposal to get the building, and then we got the building. It was a long fight. We had to organize the neighborhood, write to our congresspeople, get petition signed, all that stuff. So we got the building. So the building is ours, the neighborhood. And right now we're in the process of fundraising. We're writing grants. We probably wrote about 7 grants this month. We're actually having a huge event on May 30th here in Boston. It's we also are opening a farmer's market, like in the same block as my house in the community center. That will be open every Saturday, and we're going to be selling fresh fruits and vegetables to the neighborhood, along with, you know, we have vendors who are doing soap and honey and all. So it's going to be really amazing. You asked me to talk about my master's program. I just came back from a year, about 8 months. I did this this program called the scholarship. And it was basically, I was getting my master's on a cruise ship, a Royal Caribbean cruise ship, and we took classes on the boat. And I went to 17 different countries and in 8 months, and basically learned, I mean, because my interest is starting schools and starting community centers. So every country I went to, I visited a school or a community center and, you know, drilled the principal's brain, like, how did you get this started? What's, like, the biggest obstacle and, you know, what works in your center and all that good stuff. So I was able to bring it back to Boston, my hometown, and it's a full circle now because now I'm able to give back to the youth the way I was given to when I was younger, through the mentors and the summit, through my teachers, through my mother's friends, through my family. So I feel really, really, truly blessed. Very happy woman.
I'm sitting here on the other side of the phone. My mouth is just in this gigantic smile. You know, I'm just beaming. I'm so proud of you. And
thank you,
as I've been sharing with people in this conversation, that's why I started this show, because I wanted to acknowledge and celebrate the people. And, you know, so I want to just acknowledge you and celebrate what you're doing in your life and how you're using your life and how you're giving back to the community and just, you know, giving of yourself. You're extraordinary, and, you know, I just want you just to stand in the glow of your magnificence. You know, you're just awesome.
Thank you. I love you. I love this work. I feel like this has definitely contributed to my life. Like, I love my life, yo. Like, I wake up each morning, and I'm like, woo, what do I got to do next? Like, it's just so beautiful. And I get that, I'm one of the first generations in my family that got to experience everything that I've experienced, you know what I mean? And I get that it's through this work because, I mean, I've traveled the world. I get to have my dreams occur, you know, when I was 11, now when I'm 25, like, and I get it comes through this transformational work. And that's why I'm committed, and I'm, like, down for it, getting every youth, getting every adult in it ASAP, because, I mean, like, I'm very happy. One of the services that you're talking about, that you were just talking about, is it came out of a program that me and Pondway are in, Palmer Gibson, called Ascend Spiritual Flight School. And it's a leadership development transformational work program that we just got introduced to probably in October. And they have, like, four courses. One is, the first one is called Flow. And that's basically, you know, just about love experience and love experience and contribution. Like, a lot of the stuff that Summit Work does, like cleaning out the closet, clearing yourself, getting your vision, figuring out what you have to give up to have your vision occur. And that's the first course. And then the second course is called Freedom. And Freedom is like nothing I've ever seen before. Like, it is amazing. Like, the things you learn about yourself, because freedom is all about how you show up in the world, like having your intentions match how people experience you. And It's eye-opening, and it's so beautiful, and I want everyone in the world to experience freedom in that way. And then the program that we're in now is the last part of the program, and that's a five-month project, and it's called Flight. And so one of our Flight projects was this service weekend, and so I have six women, six phenomenal women from all around the United States who are on my Flight team, and Pondway now lives in New Orleans. So she brought up the idea of let's do a service project in New Orleans. So we came together, I mean, and put all these things into reality, getting all the eight different service projects. You know, Pondway was in New Orleans advertising on the radio, on the television. You know, we were getting people from California, Boston, D.C., Florida, all over to come up and to be in contribution. But,
like, how many people do you think was there? How many people did you guys get here?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was probably around 100 people flew in, and then we probably had about maybe 100 to 150 New Orleans people working on the service project. But one of the things that we really wanted people to get is that we wanted, you know, we didn't want it to be like a normal service project where you come in, you know, you do some work, you know, you plant a flower and then you leave. We really wanted people to, like, really be, like, with your soul, be in contribution. And so we developed different stretches, and each person who was on the team got a stretch card. They had to pick it out of a bucket. And it was stuff like, you know, tell 10 people while you're in your service project, tell 10 people they're beautiful. Or every time you see someone in red, scream out, I love myself. Or, you know, just like random ways of, like, you know, switching up your being so that you're totally, like, you're never in, like, I can't believe I'm doing this. Oh, this is hard work. Da, da, da. Like, you're actually being contribution the whole time. And so, it was amazing.
Yeah.
And
right,
people,
it was a stretch because I had to stretch. Mine was to tell people, they're beautiful.
Okay.
And you have to stretch, yeah. Because, you know, I mean, you say, oh, you're beautiful. Oh, your hair is beautiful. And then after a while, it was really a stretch to see what other ways. And like you said, my way of being, I had to stretch me, you know. So, I mean, you just have an amazing life, Benita. And I just love how you say you wake up every morning going, what do I get to do now? And, you know, I just really love that you took the time to call in tonight
and
share yourself, share your being. And, you know, we're going to be talking with you again. As you know, we're going to be in London, England for the International Black Summit this year. And like you say, we want to have young people. We'll be calling on you to talk to young people and help us, you know, have more young people be in London. But I just want to thank you for being on tonight and
Thank you.
Come back again. So thank you.
I love
so
you
much.
Guys so much. Thank you for
I
everything
you
did for me.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Oh, all righty. Oh, wow. This has been a great show. Let's celebrate. And, I mean, I can feel a celebration through the, you know, phone line. This has been just amazing. I don't want to leave tonight without doing a summit story. As you were listening to Benita, so many exciting things happen when you participate in the summit. And one of the things that have shown up for me have been summit stories. So this one is a story, and I kind of call it a Mother's Day story with a different kind of twist to it. So one of the things I always ask people to do when Chakesha, Griot Chakesha, is doing the summit story is just to sit back and relax and just let your imagination run away. Even though this is a real event, real people, real circumstances, I just want you to go into that nice, creative, imaginary space that you can go into. Now, this is the trip. The international annual event going to Jamaica. Now, I've been participating since 1993. I've gone to South Africa. I've gone to Kenya. I've gone to Canada. Here we were on our way to Jamaica. I had been waiting. I had been waiting. In fact, I am now a mature woman with three children. I have a 20-year-old and a 19-year-old son and a old Jabari. Let's see if his brother's 19. He's 13. Okay. And these, my oldest two are going to go to Jamaica with me. So I want you to picture this. This is the night that we are to get on the airplane. So I'm at my house in Compton throwing clothes into the suitcase, grabbing tickets, getting ready. I'm packing my bag, and, you know, I got a 19-year-old and a 20-year-old, so I don't need to pack their bag, so they're busy taking care of their own luggage. But, you know, I'm like, hey, I got to get out of here. And normally I take a shuttle to the airport, but my daughter is dating now, and her boyfriend has said that he'll drive me. I already know this guy drives fast, so you know, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll get to the airport. So anyway, you know, I'm looking at the time. The time has gotten away from me. I'm very concerned that I'm running late. But my daughter keeps saying, it's okay, it's okay. We will get you there on time. So we throw all our suitcase in. I wait on everybody. I'm late, they're late, but we get our things into the car, we're rushing to the airport, we're zooming down Century Boulevard in L.A., the boulevard that takes you straight into the L.A. International Airport. We get parked, we get in there, and just as I'm walking through that door, I know I'm late. This is an international flight. You're supposed to be there 2 hours ahead of time, and we're literally right at the time you should be boarding the plane. That's when we're walking in, okay? And who's walking in is this Chakesha, her daughter, Ebony Azizi, her son, Amafika. Now, one of the things when you go to the annual event is that people are coming in from all over the world. So we have these different hubs that we travel into. So Los Angeles is a hub. So not only am I boarding the plane to go to Jamaica, but people from all over. So I see Lolita from Oakland, California, and I'm seeing other people. But I march up to the counter, and, you know, I already know I'm late. But instead of acknowledging I'm late, I'm going to, you know, just be assertive. And I get this gentleman. In fact, I get this young white guy, and I show him my ticket. And immediately when he sees the ticket, he goes, well, you should have been here. You know, your flight's, you know, taken. You know, why weren't you here? You're supposed to be X amount of, you know, hours here early. And just as I go to speak, my daughter, who is now an attorney, even though she was 20 and not an attorney then, she spoke like an attorney. And in that moment, she grabbed that conversation. And she tells that young man, she just starts ripping at him, talking about, well, we're here now and we want to take care of business. And she's just talking to this guy really rough. And she's commanding the conversation. So I'm kind of just standing there thinking in my mind, I don't really think this is probably the correct way to go at this. But at the same time, I'm thinking in the back of my mind, has my plane left? Can I still catch my plane? Now, one of the things you get out of being in the International Black Summit is you get what's called a clearing and intentions. So my clearing was that I am going to be on that plane, that plane is not leaving until Chakesha is on it. So while my daughter's in this big conversation with this guy, I'm like thinking, should I leave and go to another location? Because I'm not like at the counter where I should be for handing in my boarding ticket. So I'm trying to decide. Then I interrupt my daughter and this guy. And good thing I interrupt, because by this time my daughter has been talking to this guy so viciously. It's almost like if she was Wolverine of the X-Men and she's been slashing his face. I mean, it's like he just looks like he's in a blood bath. He doesn't know what to do. So when I interrupt him, I go, young man, and I literally have to draw him to look at me. And I say, pay attention to me. Talk to me. So he looks at me, and I go, what do I need to do to make sure I can get on this flight? He says, well, if you can get them to take your ticket, then you can get on the flight. So I go, okay. So then I let them go back to talking. I race up the escalator to the location where my plane is actually at. There's a long line. It's so many people, the plane has not left, even though it should have left. The plane is still there. I run to the counter. I jump ahead of a couple of people, and I ask the receptionist, I bring you my ticket right now. Will you accept it? She says, well, lady, if you bring your ticket right now, we're still here. I'll take it. So I go, great. So I turn around. I run back downstairs. When I get downstairs, more people had joined around where my daughter was. Because remember I told you this is the hub. So one person I happen to see is Lolita. And Lolita is like, oh, wow, I really don't think we can get on this plane. You know, we're late and da-da-da. And, you know, and I'm like, shh, I don't want any of that in my clearing. Because in my clearing, the plane will not leave until Chakesha is on it. And since I'm not on it, the plane hasn't left. By this time, when I get to the counter, the guy is not there. The only place where I can find the airline that is now issuing those tickets is in a totally different location. I run over to that location. My daughter follows. My son follows. And when we get to them, I go, let me have my ticket. They'll accept it upstairs. They type in something. They look in the computer, and they're like, lady, your ticket's not here. And I go, what do you mean my ticket's not here? And they say, well, you didn't take your ticket, and your daughter said she didn't want her ticket, and this whole conversation about my daughter. So then I turn, and I look at my daughter, and she goes, well, I told them I didn't want my ticket. She says, I didn't tell them you didn't want your ticket. I look around. I see the guy. I asked him, where's my ticket? He says, oh, your daughter didn't want her ticket, so I assume you didn't want your ticket. He goes, I don't have your ticket. And I'm just like, my mouth has dropped to the floor. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I don't have my ticket. I need my ticket to give them up so I can get on the plane. So to make a long story short, the event, the annual event that happened in Jamaica is the only event I've missed. I did not go to Jamaica. I did not go to the annual event. So since 1993, I have gone to every annual event that the summit has put on, except for Jamaica. So what I got to see for myself in that moment as I stood there, now in that moment that I stood there, I actually got, the plane hasn't left because Chakasha's not on it. But in that moment I got, I was not going to be on that plane. As soon as I got that, the clearing disappeared, the plane took off, and I was standing there looking at my 20-year-old daughter and my, I said my son was 19, but he's 18. He's 2 years younger than my daughter. I'm standing there looking at them, and in that moment, I got, my children are grown. As a mother, I got, it is time to let them go. In that moment, I got, we will not be traveling to the summit again together, where I'm, like, trying to take care of everything. They are adults. I need to let them fly. I need to let them exercise their own wings. And I need to fly alone. And that was the event I didn't go to. The only good thing that came out of that event, the silver lining in this cloud, is that for the first time my daughter said to me when I didn't go that night, she came into the bedroom, and she just hugged me, and she says, Mommy, I'm so sorry you're missing your summit. I see how much the summit means to you. And, you know, I'm really sorry, you know, if I did anything that had you not failed. And so that was great because, you know, I really got that she got how important the summit was for me. But that's why I say it's a Mother's Day story with a twist, because as a mother, I learned part of raising your children is letting them go. And that's our summit story for today.
Wow, that's an awesome story, Chakasha. We have about 6 minutes left, and Deanna has just actually joined us again.
Great. Let's bring her on.
Deanna, you're live now.
Greetings. How's
greetings.
Everyone?
Welcome. Welcome, Deanna. It's so good to have you on.
Yeah, I called earlier, but I don't know what happened. So.
Okay, but we got you now. Once again, listening audience, I got the opportunity to meet Deanna at the service day. You see, I got to meet all these awesome people at the service day on April 26th. She was one of the 100 people who came down to be of service to the city of New Orleans. Which group did you work on, Deanna?
Actually, I was one of the blessed parties to work in the Lower Ninth Ward, which was...
Oh, right.
Yeah,
we were partners.
Yeah, it was definitely... What can I say? It was phenomenal. It was definitely a very rewarding, very spiritual experience for me. So I just give thanks.
Yes, yes. Now, we actually were in the Lower Nine. As many people know, the Lower Nine, the Ninth Ward was the heavily hit ward. And as Deanna can tell you, we drove through blocks and blocks and blocks of empty, boarded up homes, unlivable. It looked like a ghost town. It looked like
right.
a ghost town. You know, I mean, you wouldn't believe the properties that are there that, you know, one can live in. And no one's around. It's just quiet. And we had the great fortune of meeting, I believe it is Max, and he's a gentleman there who has created something called The Village. And he is actually helping repair the Ninth Ward. He's created a village center where he has a place for young people to be. He's helping people with their homes. He's just doing everything to bring people back to the Ninth Ward. They're going to have some special events coming up. They're doing a mural that he was sharing with us. But, Deanna, just take a couple of minutes, and, you know, I'm going to have you hold to about a couple of minutes, and just share what you got from being there and what's happening in New Orleans.
Well, for me, it was, just being frank, I mean, it was racism, white supremacy, right in your face. And as I spoke to our group later on in the evening, I mean, for me personally, I was already aware of it, and I believe as folks that I was walking with were walking around as well. And, you know, just to see it in your face without, you know, a media interpretation, you know, it was eye-opening experience for some, and a reality check, I'm sure, for others. And for me, it was very humbled and appreciative that the Creator and my ancestors would allow me to have been so blessed to meet our people, you know, just a few that I was able to meet face-to-face, because as you mentioned, the neighborhood is basically abandoned. So those parties that I were able to actually meet and to connect with and to hear their stories from their mouth to my ear, I mean, it was just powerful. And I vowed to, you know, stay in touch and stay connected with them and to do the best that I can. In fact, the family that we were able to make what I consider a very small donation to, I mean, that family said that was the most that anyone had ever done for them in almost 4 years. It's going on 4 years in August. And, you know, so it was very powerful. It was a powerful experience for me personally, as well as I'm sure others, to hear her story or their stories of the devastation that they not only received at that point in time during the, quote, you know, storm, as well as the ongoing devastation, and maintaining their lives or trying to regain a sense of life or a sense of normalcy back to their lives. So it was powerful. It was a powerful experience. And I'm just really, I'm not just, I'm grateful for the opportunity.
Right. Well, I want to take this time to once again celebrate and acknowledge you and the others who came down that day to make a difference. And like you say, to have that make a difference in your life. I'm going to invite you again back to our show. Just want to thank you for joining. We're rounding up on our last 2 minutes of the show. So once again, I want to let people know they've been listening to the International Black Summit Talk Show. You've been listening to the segment called Let's Celebrate. And I'd like to have Claire share with what will be up for us next week on our show.
Next week we will have Vision Work, and Vision Work is about people who are doing projects in the community, sharing with our listeners what they're up to. We're going to be focusing on, in the theme of Mother's Day and Mother's Day Month, single mothers and fathers who are single parents.
Great. Okay, and you can hear more about our show by going to blacksummit.org. It'll take you to our website. you can also do what we call download this show. And by downloading, that means you can go to our archives at blogtalkradio.com, and you can bring down shows and actually save it onto your computer and listen to our different radio shows that we've done at a later time at your convenience. So you can go to blacksummit.org, and you'll actually see where it has. If you scroll down a couple of places, you'll see Black Talk Show, and it'll have a button that you can hit. And you can find us here, and you can call into the show and speak with us by calling area code 646-716-9827 and be a guest and share your comments just as you are shared tonight. So this is Chakasha with Let's Celebrate, saying thank you all for being here, all of my callers for sharing. And it's just been a great show. I am just full of celebration. Is there anything else we need to cover, Claire?
No, we're not live anymore, but great show.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That was good. We had a lot of callers.
Yes, we did. We didn't have a chance to get to everyone, but really appreciate all the people who listened in and called in. Great session. Thank you.
Right. Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. Chakasha, are you still there?